जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत छंद जय गौर भक्त विंद Glorious to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glorious to Lord Nityananda, all glorious to Advaita Chandra, all glorious to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 13, verse 143. These verses are Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Lord Jagannath at Rath Yatra. And these verses reveal the deep mysteries of love between the residents of Vrindavan and their beloved Lord Sri Krishna. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking as he's dancing before the chariot of Lord Jagannath and revealing to him the heart of Srimati Radharani. And in these verses and the loving exchanges revealed herein, we can appreciate to some degree the profound significance and meaning of Rath Yatra, which is the emotional process of assisting Srimati Radharani in bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, or individually welcoming Krishna back into the holy dham of our own hearts. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? Have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Jamuna, and the forest where you enjoyed the Rasa Lila? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well-behaved, soft-hearted, and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. In the next verse, we see the selfless, humble service attitude of Srimati Radharani, who is not pleading to Krishna on her own behalf, but is pleading to him on behalf of those who are very dear to Krishna. And she is concerned that they will not be able to maintain their lives without Krishna. But really, she's appealing to Krishna on her behalf and on behalf of Nanda and Jashoda and the gopas and gopis, because he knows, Mahaprabhu, as Srimati Radharani, knows that Krishna will be more responsive to their wishes, desires, and pleas than he would to his own desires. And since their desire is only to please him in the best possible place and the best conceivable manner, which is in Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu is appealing to Krishna. I do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of your mother Jashoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all. Is it that you want to enliven them by coming there? Why is it you are simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj, You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let them all live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani did not express her personal unhappiness at being separated from Krishna. She wanted to evoke Krishna's feelings for the condition of all others in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, Maharaj Nanda, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the birds and bees on the banks of the Jamuna, the water of the Jamuna, the trees, forests, and all other paraphernalia associated with Krishna before he left Vrindavan for Mathura. These feelings of Srimati Radharani were manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he invited Lord Jagannath, Krishna, to return to Vrindavan. That is the purport of the Ratha Yatra cars going from Jagannath Puri to the Gundicha temple. Om Ganatana Bandhasya Ganatana Salakaya Chakshirun Malitam Hina. Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We see in these verses how Ratha Yatra commemorates that blessed meeting between the Brijavasis and their Lord Sri Krishna on the sacred plain of Kurukshetra. You know how in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra was inquiring from Sanjaya about the events on the battlefield. And Sanjaya, through his pure heart, having darshan of Krishna and Arjuna, poised between the two contending armies, was relaying to Dhritarashtra what was happening. Dhritarashtra was hoping, against hope, that the holy influence of Kurukshetra, because of all the sacrifices since time immemorial that had been performed there, perhaps the Pandavas would not be inspired to fight in such a holy place and would just walk away. And then Dhritarashtra's sons would win the battle by default. So he inquired about that holy place, Kurukshetra, which is imbued with the effects of sacrifice since time immemorial. And is most renowned as a setting for Bhagavad Gita to be spoken between or in the midst of the vast armies which were assembled for warfare. This song of God, the Bhagavad Gita, is influenced by the adolescent life of Krishna and his romantic dealings, which actually reached their zenith at Kurukshetra 50 years before the battle. So, the sun and moon are likened to the eyes of the Lord, and as the sun blinked, so to speak, in the form of the eclipse, the solar eclipse, which drew the Jadus from Dwarka, and endless columns of military phalanxes and royal entourage came to assemble at that holy place of Kurukshetra. From the south approached a slow, plodding caravan of ox carts. The Brijavasis had taken advantage of the opportunity to meet their Lord once again. But the Brijavasis, they didn't know Krishna as a prince, as a warrior. They knew him in a form which is more natural than supernatural, more human and superhuman, more childlike and simple than divine. And so intimate and personal was their love, and his love for them, to the extent that he actually falls in love in Vrindavan with Srimati Radharani. And this form is the most sweet and charming aspect of his divinity, because he falls in love not due to some absence, some inadequacy in himself, but his falling in love is due to his fullness and completeness and overflowing of love. When Krishna is relaxing in the rustic setting of his homeland, he reveals his fullest intimacy of love. And when he leaves Vrindavan, the Brijavasis are so brokenhearted that they were just crying day and night in the anguish of separation from him. So when they approached Kurukshetra for the eclipse, they could not even see Krishna in the midst of the vast array of tents and armies, but like a piece of iron being irresistibly drawn toward a magnet, they found their Krishna. And when Nanda and Yashoda felt the presence of their son once again, and Nanda just cried out, "Gopal!" And Krishna cried out, "Father!" And before Krishna and Balaram could even offer obeisances to their mother and father, Krishna found himself being absorbed in the loving embrace of Mother Yashoda. And Balaram was embraced by Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna just melted into her arms. And everyone in Kurukshetra, all those vast armies of warriors, felt that love overflowing between Krishna and the Brijavasis. And the remembrance of that love lingered in their hearts forever after. And for a time they forgot their endless years of sorrow and their endless nights of tears. And as Vasudev and his sons, Krishna and Balaram, began greeting their respected guests like Bhishma and Duryodhana and Yudhisthira, in the distance, the gopis were waiting earnestly for their time to be with Krishna. And Balaram was sensitive to the feelings of the gopis, so he took the central position with Vasudev, greeting all his respected guests. And then, by the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna and the gopis were mystically transferred to a local forest. And as Krishna's mothers, Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Mother Devaki, were discussing his charming childhood pranks, they didn't even notice that he had been stolen away. And in that forest of tamal trees, embraced by madhavi vines the forest was illumined by the golden aura of Srimati Radharani's love. And Krishna, expressing his pure heart, asked in a very humble way, "Is your separation now relieved? You see, I am here standing before you." And he asked, Krishna asked the gopis, "Do you remember me after all this time?" And different gopis responded in different ways. Some said, "Well, actually, we really never gave you a second thought." And Krishna responded, "Please don't think me to be ungrateful." And then he said, "It is the Lord who brings different living entities together, just like the wind brings different clouds together in the sky and then separates them again. But it is bhakti which qualifies one for eternal life. And your good fortune is your loving sentiments by which you have obtained me." And the gopis responded that first you blame God for our separation, and then you state what everyone already knows, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So are you just trying to bewilder us with this kind of duplicity? And Krishna responded that the real point is that I am conquered by love. It is by bhakti alone that you can attain me, and I am yours. And that was music to the ears of the gopis. And then they responded that the same instructions relayed by Uddhava about jnana yoga, and the same instructions he himself had previously given them, now revealed a deeper kind of understanding about his different aspects of presence, prakat and aprakat. By spiritual eyes, one may behold the darshan of the Lord in his prakat feature, but it is the meditation of the heart which holds and replays forever his aprakat form, which becomes more fully manifest in the fire of separation. So the jnanis can perceive Brahman in their meditation, and the yogis can perceive Paramatma in their meditation as his prakat feature. But the gopis pleaded with Krishna that we don't want to hear this kind of philosophy. We just want to hear that he will come back to Vrindavan. And Krishna said, "Why don't you come with me to Dwarka, where we have a Nava Vrindavan, a new Vrindavan, a replica Vrindavan." But the gopis were not interested in replicas. They were too attached to their home, not for their own sake, but because Vrindavan is the only place where they could serve and please Krishna most fully. It is the realm of exclusive devotional service, which offers the greatest pleasure to Krishna. And then altogether, those gopis pointed south towards Vrindavan. And when Radha and Krishna's eyes locked, he saw that her body was the playground of conflicting emotions. It was inhibiting her ability to see Krishna by the tears in her eyes. And so, since those conflicting emotions was inhibiting her ability to serve Krishna, he approached her and said, instead. And when she turned her face away from him, which he interpreted as a sign of her displeasure, tears flooded his eyes, and he bowed down his head and his golden crown at her pinkish lotus feet. And she asked him, "Why are you falling at my feet? There's no fault in your part for leaving us for so long." And then Srimati Radharani said to Krishna, as he was bowing down at her lotus feet, "It is I who am actually a sinner." And Krishna was so surprised to hear those words that he looked up and was contemplating, how is it that she, whose very holy name dispels all sins and sorrows, could be presenting herself as a sinner? And she responded that, "I say that I'm a sinner because I am still living after all these long years in your absence." And then Srimati Radharani turned to her friend Lita and explained to her that here we see Krishna dressed as a prince, surrounded by powerful armies and warriors and chariots and elephants, but my mind is not happy here. And then she revealed Krishna's heart. She told Krishna, "You are the same Krishna. I am the same Radharani. We're meeting again after such a long period of separation. Yet my mind is not happy here." And then she appealed to him in all humility, begging him to come back to Vrindavan. And this is because she was knowing that Krishna is more responsive to her desire than to his own. But what she was really saying is that she knows that Krishna can only be perfectly satisfied and happy in Vrindavan. So on her behalf, she was requesting him to return. And as Krishna glanced lovingly over his gopis who were assembled in that forest, and then he turned to the other direction over the vast sea of tents illumined by torches just as the sun was beginning to set, and his mind was attracted to the Yadus, but his heart was attracted to the Brijavasis. He was thinking about Dwarka due to the ropes of duty, but he was thinking about Vrindavan because of the force of love. And his heart awakened to the sights and sounds and fragrances of Vrindavan, which he had left so long ago. And he felt his whole being transported and shifting to the south towards Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani appealed to him again, "If you haven't forgotten us, then come." So Krishna is feeling his heart drifting towards Vrindavan when suddenly from the Jadu's camp the conch shell blew, where Baladev and Subhadra were playfully narrating Krishna's Dwarka Leela to the Jadus. And then he remembered that I must return to Dwarka, otherwise my enemies, like Jarasandha and others, will conquer that land, and then they'll proceed to Mathura and Vrindavan, and it'll be just a disaster. But again, her glance intercepted his thoughts, and she appealed to him that Nanda and Yashoda have come here with great expectation. Will they survive returning home without you? You are their very life and soul. And Krishna again closed his eyes, and he felt himself drifting southward. And he felt himself running through the pastoral scenery of Vrindavan, chasing after happy, contented cows with Sridham and Subal. And he was resting in a verdant forest meadow when suddenly the conch shell sounded again. And he found himself, against his will, brought back to Kurukshetra, when in his mind he was still hearing the laughing of the gopas and the mooing of the cows. Vrindavan still lingered in his mind, but he was contemplating, what about my enemies? What about my duty to the Jadus? And then he saw Srimati Radharani smiling at him from behind the tree, motioning to him to come with us back to Vrindavan, back to home. Your mother, your father, your friends, they'll just die if you don't come back with us. And he heard Sridham in the background calling, the cows have wandered farther, far away. Gopal, come. And he could smell the Kadamba forest. He could feel the breeze. He could feel the very, and hear the very leaves on the trees calling him from Vrindavan, come, come home. And again he was a carefree gopa running through the forests and groves of Vrindavan when the conch shell from the Jadu camp sounded a third time and his meditation broke. Vrindavan was gone, but Srimati Radharani was still before him, her eyes moist with tears and sparkling with love. And he could hear Baladev's strong voice calling from the Jadu camp that the Jadus are ready for supper, but they cannot eat until you come, my brother, come. And yet her eyes were still luring him to come back to Vrindavan. And then Krishna realized that he had actually never, ever left Vrindavan. Sankarshan could call from the Jadu's camp and Vasudev would respond and go join them for dinner. But Brajendra Nandana Krishna, Shyamasundar had actually never left from, he had never left Vrindavan to go to Kurukshetra. He was still yearning for the love of his homeland. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita put Arjuna in a very perplexed situation. He was bewildered finding himself in a situation where he had to confront in warfare those whose lotus feet he wanted to worship. And in his perplexity, when his hair was standing on end, not in ecstasy, and his body was trembling, and his Gandiva bow was slipping from his hands. And he finally surrendered to Krishna, saying, "I'm your disciple now. Please instruct me. What must I do?" And Krishna, he told Arjuna, "Actually, you're a fool." He didn't console his friend like normal people would do, saying, "I empathize with you." He told him, "You're a fool. You're lamenting for what is not worthy of grief." And then Krishna began to speak to Arjuna the very words which the world needs to hear, beginning with how the soul is different from the body, and then on to the three modes of material nature and how they're binding and controlling everyone in this world, and the divine and demoniac natures, and culminating in the 18th chapter in Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mam Evashyasi Satyam Te Pratijne Priyosime. Just always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, find your homage in me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. This is the conclusion. And the next verse is the symptom. Sarva dharma pratyaja mamikam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha yashami masuja. Abandon all other duties and just surrender unto me. Sarva dharma pratyaja mamikam sharanam, take refuge, vraja, go there. Take refuge in Braj. So, Srila Prabhupada on Radhastami in 1965 was drifting on Jaladutta further and further away from his homeland. And he wrote in his diary how I'm feeling such tremendous separation from my lords, Sri Govinda, Sri Gopinath, Radha Damodar, but I'm finding great solace in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is like the nectar of life. And after surviving heart attacks and storms and thinking that perhaps he would not survive another day, and in a vision he saw Lord Sri Krishna in all his various manifestations in a boat, conveying to him that I am here with you, I will carry you across this ocean. And then a few days later, feeling better, Srila Prabhupada, from his illustrious pure heart, composed a poem beginning with, "I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani is pleased with you." And then he said, "It is that great servant of Sri Gauranga, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, whose order I'm trying to fulfill." He is that great saintly spiritual master who manifests pure devotion in this world in various places. And I'm trying to fulfill his order to spread the holy name, because when the holy name resounds from every hill and valley and forest and river and ocean and continent, and the whole world is flooded in a deluge of devotional feelings, and when all the sinful, miserable, suffering living entities become happy, then only are the true Vaishnava's desires fulfilled. So then Srila Prabhupada wrote to his companion that today remembrance came of you in a very special way. And Srila Prabhupada arrived shortly thereafter on the shore of America, first in Boston, then in New York, and actually fulfilled the pure desire of his father, Gaura Mohan Day, who throughout his childhood would invite sadhus to his home every day and feed them and please them in every respect by his hospitality, and then ask only one blessing from them, that bless my child, that he may be a pure servant of Srimati Radharani, and she may bestow his blessing, her blessings upon him. Those blessings bore fruit, and the prediction given at Srila Prabhupada's birth by the astrologer, the astonishing prediction that at the age of 70 he would cross the ocean, become an exponent of religion, a great preacher, and open 108 temples, that all became fulfilled. So pure devotional service can only manifest by the blessings of Srimati Radharani, because she is the source and the personification of pure devotional service. So we see in the requests for blessings of Gaura Mohan Day, and in Srila Prabhupada's own words, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. It is only by her blessings that pure devotional service can manifest in our hearts, and only by pure devotional service can Krishna be understood. And therefore, when he says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, in this way you will come to me, I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. How can we always think of Krishna? Only when we have pure love for Krishna. And that pure love is the blessing which can only be manifest by Srimati Radharani herself. So wherever we see pure devotional service manifest, there is the representative of Srimati Radharani. The aspiration of the Vaishnavas is to be Das Das Anodas, servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Gauranga, maid servant of the maid servant of the maid servant of Srimati Radharani. The highest aspiration of the Brijavasis is to serve Srimati Radharani, because only she can really completely and perfectly please and fulfill the desires of Lord Sri Krishna. The jiva souls do not have this potency. We're infinitesimal sparks of Krishna's glory. How much love can we offer to him? And how much of his love can we assimilate in our own hearts, being so limited and infinitesimal by nature? But the Gaudiya Vaishnava theology is that by serving and pleasing Srimati Radharani, she can offer Krishna unlimited and perfect pleasure. She can take our infinitesimal tiny offerings of devotion and, magnified by her touch, actually make it something pleasing to Krishna. Or as Srila Prabhupada said, if we can but please Srimati Radharani, then she will appeal to Krishna that this devotee, even though he may be a fool, is trying sincerely to please you, so please accept him. And as Srila Prabhupada said, if that is her request, then Krishna has to accept. So therefore, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are always praying for the blessings of Srimati Radharani, that pure devotional service can manifest in our hearts. And if we can please her, then our offerings can actually become pleasing to Krishna. And then Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita can become a reality, that we can always think of Krishna, as the Brijavasis were always thinking of Krishna. And there's another verse which has the same first two lines in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And that verse expresses the devotee's love for Krishna, by which he's trying to attain Krishna. In the 18th chapter, the verse which begins with the same two lines, Man mana bhava mad bhakto, mad yaji mam namaskuru, mam evaishyasi sattam te pratijna priyosime, refers to, puts more emphasis on Krishna's love towards the devotees in trying to help them attain to him. Krishna's compassionate nature is personified in Srimati Radharani. And when she bestows her blessings and pure devotional service can manifest in our hearts, and only when the heart is actually filled with love for Krishna can we always think of Krishna. So this is the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And has made love for Krishna so easily attainable in the Mahamantra, which is composed of the holy names of Radha and Krishna. And in the Mahamantra, which is the Yugala Mantra of Radha and Krishna, the topmost vibration, the original mantra of the spiritual world, which by Lord Gauranga's mercy has descended to the lowest depths of this material world to convey that love, to bestow that love of Krishna. When Krishna hears us chanting Hare Hare, which is Radhe Radhe, the name of his beloved, and he becomes pleased. And when Srimati Radharani hears us chanting Krishna Krishna, she becomes satisfied that her children, after such long lapse of memory and forgetfulness of Krishna, and suffering the nightmare of material existence, are at last coming to their senses, their spiritual senses are awakening, and they're calling out once again to the Supreme Mother of Devotion and Father of all living entities to deliver them. So it is the custom to try to please someone on their birthday. We please Srimati Radharani by chanting sincerely with attention and devotion the holy names of Krishna. And we pray for her blessings that in some lifetime, maybe not this or the next, but hopefully within a million lifetimes or so, we may attain that supreme benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of being accepted by Srimati Radharani as the servant of the servant of her servant. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Bhaktikesh Prabhu.
Is Bhakti an extension of Srimati Radharani and the Shiva's eye and
Bhakti Devi is Srimati Radharani. She also has her expansions of different forms of bhakti. But the most complete and perfect form of bhakti Devi is Srimati Radharani herself. Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta Radhika Sarad. Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta Radhika Sarva Devata Sarva Lakshmi Mahi Kantas. She is the central figure of all the goddesses of devotion. She She alone possesses the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive Sri Krishna. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. She expands herself as the various gopis and varieties of goddesses of devotion and fortune, but she is the original. In Goloka and also Gokula. Anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Ceremony and Bolivia, the first knowledge.